You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August 28, 2021, and the president is in D.C., but getting ready to leave again. Headed to Delaware to continue a vacay that he broke once coming back to the White House to talk about what was going on in Afghanistan after the weekend of silence. Went back to Camp David, then came back again for a quick briefing on COVID and make a statement, no questions asked, go back to Camp David, and then he came back today to D.C., and he actually just wrapped up a news conference, and the schedule is for the president, now that he's done with that, it's a heavy schedule. He's going to get on the plane and go to Wilmington, go home. I know, I hear some of you saying he can just stay there, but what are the options? If he stays, you know who's next in line. Yeah, well, I'll come to that in a moment. But yesterday, President Biden finally stepping forward, facing the press, in addition to doing a one-on-one interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos the other day. And I will give George Stephanopoulos credit for asking some legitimate questions. He pressed him a little bit, but he didn't press him as hard as I would have. But aside from that, today, Biden stood in front of the press and took questions. And apparently, nobody decided to say, call on this one, call on that one. Apparently, it was a free-for-all, but I'm waiting for more details on it. But he also said in response to one question, well, first of all, let's deal with getting Americans out. He said, we're doing everything we can. We're moving forward. That's our prime concern. There'll be a lot of time to evaluate later on, but right now our concern is getting Americans out. Any American who wants to come home, we will get you home. Well, that's good. And we should. That is more important right now than finger-pointing and assigning blame. But we're still going to have to do that as well. And he also said, in reference to another question about how this Afghanistan debacle was going to affect our allies around the world, he said, I have seen no question of our credibility from our allies around the world. Have you been talking to them? Last we heard, you haven't called anybody. Have they been calling you? Are they sending you love notes? How do you know? He said, I have spoken with NATO allies, Larry. That's what he said. So he should have said, I did speak with NATO allies. He did say that. And he said, the fact of the matter is, I've not seen that. Matter of fact, the exact opposite I've gotten. Exact opposite is, we're acting with dispatch. We're acting, committing to what we said we would do. But again, when he was asked about the overall decision to leave under the conditions, the way they did it, and would that embolden terrorists to attack Americans anywhere in the world and in our own soil, or in our own soil. He said, I think you're comparing apples and oranges. I disagree. I think that we certainly have opened up that door. The administration is troubled by all the weapons and equipment they left behind that the Afghan forces were going to leave, but then they abandoned and now are in the hands of the Taliban. Taliban apparently controlling something like 2,000 armored vehicles, nearly 40 aircraft. That would include some Black Hawk choppers, scout attack helicopters, Scan Eagle military drones. Whether or not they know how to use them, they'll find somebody that can. If you don't, we'll go after your family. So they'll get some people to fly them. The issue will be, can they keep them maintained? Because when they go down, are they going to be able to get it? Will they be able to get parts on the black market? Will they be able to cannibalize others and keep some going? So there's consideration that maybe we will use airstrikes to wipe out those weapons. We should have been using airstrikes against the Taliban as they're moving across Afghanistan. But we didn't. I mentioned earlier that if Biden goes, who's behind? Well, you know it's VP Harris. Latest polling from Rasmussen, voter confidence in her to assume the presidency is catering. Question, how qualified is she to handle the responsibilities of the presidency? A majority, 55%, said not very qualified. I agree with that. FBI says a January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was not the result of any organized plot. There's no evidence to back that up. In other words, a piece of fiction. North Carolina search continues for at least 17 missing because of heavy rains, all that taking part because of a storm system that was originally a hurricane moving up through that part of the world, our nation. And in California, Northern California, millions of acres of national forest closed because of dangerous fire conditions. Oh, here's, you want some good news. Andrew Cuomo, U-Hauls and pickup trucks are outside the mansion. They're loading up all of his stuff. He's getting ready to walk away and leave the mansion. We don't know where he's going, as if you care.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We've established the flow of flights, and we've increased the number of people we're moving out of the country. We paused flights in Kabul a few hours this morning to make sure we could process the arriving evacuees at the transit points. But our commander in Kabul has already given the order for outbound flights to resume. Even with the pause, we've moved out 5,700 evacuees yesterday, and we're working on a variety to verify that number. The Americans are still in country as we work on this because don't have the exact number of people who are Americans are there.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know. That is President Biden moments ago in the White House. Yes, he went back to the White House, came off his vacay one more time to make a stop at the White House and address the Americans being stranded in Kabul and defending the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. But let's don't get into that too much detail right now, he said. We would deal with that later on. Right now, we're just focused on getting Americans out. I have a problem with something he just said, though. He said, we paused the flights for a while because those at the receiving end needed some time to get their act together. Basically, what sounded to me, that they got to get their act together. What are you talking about? And again, I don't have a direct answer for you, but he is at least facing reporters. Oh, I should point this out to you, too. Kamala is there. She's standing off of his right shoulder in the back with her full face mask on. Oh, and off to the left of President Biden as he was making those statements is Secretary of State Blinken. I think it's him. I can't have the mask on. Yeah, I think it's him. The fact that we couldn't even get that sound up for you in a hurry, I mean, that's all due to Quentin. I mean, You never want to see how you make sausage. If you watch how fast he's running from room to room, trying to grab a bite, get back to me. Hit the snitch, I know we're running back. I mean, the guy's just amazing. Thank you, Quentin. We wouldn't have had it otherwise. But Biden actually coming forward and addressing the public. It is late, but yes, we want to hear about this. And I'm glad he did. I'm going to give him some credit for at least finally doing it. I think he's been under duress that he had to, obviously. And on top of that, we've already heard reports that other countries were inside, British special forces were inside, rounding and finding their people and getting them out. I think I even saw a report of another country doing the same thing. And if they came across Americans, they were taking them with them. But we were told the other day by General Austin that Pentagon chief, we don't know how to go out there. We have no way to go out and get these people spread across the country. And the State Department had sent word out to Americans, just stay where you are. We cannot guarantee your safety to the airport. So I'm glad those at the airport were getting out. My question continues, though, what are we doing about the Americans stranded elsewhere? Now Defense Secretary Austin is saying we will evacuate individuals till the clock runs out or we run out of capacity. Now, he said that yesterday, and I still don't know what out of capacity means. What do you mean? The White House is saying the figure of Americans, I guess they mean in all of Afghanistan, is around 11,000. Various media outlets, including foreign media outlets, say the number's probably closer to 40,000. And if we're also trying to get out the Afghan interpreters and those who worked with us and their families, because they're targeted for execution if we don't get them out. Now, again, before he held that conference today, in an interview earlier today, now maybe she knew it was going to happen. We don't know. This would be White House Communications Director. She was being asked about Biden, still back at Camp David at that time, for everybody's knowledge. He wasn't commenting anymore and getting ready to go to Delaware. And the White House Communications Director, Kate Bedingfield, said, well, you saw he did a full sit-down interview just yesterday. He's always willing to take questions. The president never shies away from questions. Congresswoman Jody Rice of California said, Congressman Heiss, I should say, I had the wrong name, Congressman Heiss, Republican of Georgia, said, are you joking? Biden's taken fewer questions than any recent president. By this point in their term, Obama had done 113 interviews, Trump 50, Biden 9. Well, today he added a 10th. He not only addressed the reporters, but he actually started taking questions, but I'm not sure how solid the answers were.
Make no mistake, this evacuation mission is dangerous. It involves risks to our armed forces, and it's being conducted under difficult circumstances. I cannot promise what the final outcome will be or what it will be that it will be without risk of loss. But as Commander in Chief, I can assure you that I will mobilize every resource necessary. As we continue to work the logistics of evacuation, we're in constant contact with the Taliban, working to ensure civilians have safe passage to the airport.
Well, he's saying again there that we are working with the Taliban. Oh, I'm sorry, the way he says the Taliban. He likes to call it the Taliban. That we're working with them, and they're going to ensure safe passage of Americans. Does he know that numerous reports have come out that they've been breaking into homes of Afghan citizens? If they're suspected of ever worked with us, they are stringing them up, hanging them right inside their own home or just outside their doorway. And that they've been actively looking for Americans? One former interpreter in Afghanistan has been quoted as saying, I wish I didn't work with the U.S. How do you think that's going to play out in the future? We're in a foreign war zone and our soldiers are trying to work with someone and get intel and interpretation. Is the interpreter going to tell them the truth or are they going to be exchanging stories between the two of them that Americans wouldn't understand and plotting to kill Americans? Listen, there have been many of these Afghan interpreters and those who have joined with our forces and been fighting the Taliban done an excellent job. And yes, the other day when it all began to fall apart, they did abandon positions and leave a lot of equipment behind. And I know it's very easy to say, well, we train them, they're all cowards. That is a quick rush into judgment, and almost I want to quickly agree. But at the same time, let's a little perspective, please. First of all, we have not lost in a battle action for plus almost 18 months a U.S. soldier. And I hope we end up leaving without losing another American soldier as we try to go find these Americans and get them to safety. But during that same period of time, the Afghan army has lost something like 7,000 soldiers who were actively fighting alongside our forces or in advance of them or under our direction. But another thing was missing the other day, and I told you we made a big noise about it then, and that was, where was the airstrike capability to reinforce the Afghan army? We don't have to put more boots on the ground to help them, as Taliban was racing across the country the other day. Precision site bombing and hitting with either aircraft and our drones. I've got a guest coming up in the next part of this, later in this hour. You don't want to miss him. Steve Bucci, 30 years Army Green Beret. And in fact, I was talking to him the day all of this suddenly started happening, a week ago. And at that time, he said, I don't like the way it's going. It doesn't look good, and we're not doing things we need to be doing. So I want to get his take coming up in a few minutes on what we need to be doing now. As I said earlier in the monologue, or rather the news commentary, apparently the White House is considering now using airstrikes to mainly destroy equipment that got left behind. 30-plus thousand motor vehicles, who knows, 60-plus Black Hawk helicopters, unknown number of drones, which could also have been turned over or sold to China, and then they will use that information they gather from those drones and create a reverse technology to destroy our drones. But the president says now we are focusing on getting everyone out, but no one knows the number of how many. And I think he also had to come out and say it, not only for the pressure on behalf of the American people and the American press, but because we've been getting reports that other countries and nations have their special ops teams inside Afghanistan, and they've been out in the country, not just in Kabul, gathering some of those people and getting them out, getting them safely out. And in some cases, helping Americans if they come across them, and in some cases, if they also have a chance, they're taking some of the Afghan interpreters and their families. And then there's a question of if Biden's even in control. There's a new survey that says 51% of those surveyed don't believe he's the one making the decisions. Well, with that in mind, let's go back to this interview he did the other day with George Stephanopoulos a couple days ago on ABC. And when he was trying to say and insist, we're going to take care of America. We're going to take care of Americans. Listen.
We're going to do everything in our power to get all Americans out and our allies out.
Does that mean troops will stay beyond August 31st if necessary?
It depends on where we are and whether we can ramp these numbers up to 5,000 to 7,000 a day coming out. If that's the case, they'll all be out.
Because we've got like 10 to 15,000 Americans in the country right now, right? And are you committed to making sure that the troops stay until every American who wants to be out is out?
Yes.
Yes, yes. But I do believe when this operation fully shuts down and all the U.S. troops are out, there will be Americans left behind. And at some point, the Taliban's going to say, when we go and knock on the door and tell them we're here to take you to the airport, let's just don't take them to the airport. Let's just hold them. Let's see what cards the Americans play next. And, of course, you have to keep in mind what we've been watching happening. And George Stephanopoulos reminded him of some of the video that was coming out the other day.
But we've all seen the pictures. We've seen those hundreds of people packed into a C-17. We've seen Afghans falling.
That was 4 days ago, 5 days ago.
What did you think when you first saw those pictures?
What I thought was we have to gain control of this. We have to move this more quickly. We have to move in a way in which we can take control of that airport. And we did.
He says we did. We are getting flights out of there. We do have the tarmac cleared where we can fly planes out, because for a while, hundreds at least, if not 2,000 to 3,000, were on the tarmacs and all around the airport. We couldn't get planes off. We couldn't get planes in. And the other question remains, you cannot deny this issue. Trump raised this the other day. If we don't fully vet the Afghans we bring out, we don't know if we're getting people that really work for us or they're coming into this country to carry out jihad of some type. But let's get our Americans out. Now, the president making those remarks, and yet earlier today, Americans were being told by our State Department, we'll get you out, but you're going to have to pay for your flight. Yeah, you had to pay us to come rescue you, or you have to pay somebody. Now, I'm not joking. That story coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Would you like to learn more about cryptocurrency, how to buy crypto merchandise? Get your answers at the first Crypto World Store, now in St. Charles. Grand opening Tuesday, August 24th, starting at 10 a.m. You got to see this store. For more information, visit firstcryptoworld.com. firstcryptoworld.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, the statement officially from the U.S. State Department stated, U.S. law requires that evacuation assistance to private U.S. citizens or third country nationals be provided on a reimbursable basis to the maximum extent practicable. So what many of those who were looking to get out of Afghanistan, be they U.S. citizens even, or an Afghan family interpreter trying to get out with his family, if they're going to be flown out, they might face a bill of $2,000 or more. That is what our State Department was doing. That was part of what they had put up and stated, this is what we will do. You look at some of their site information. Flight cost, repatriation flights are not free. Passengers will be required to sign a promissory loan agreement and may not be eligible to renew. That's from the U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan, August the 14th. We are what? August the 20th? So that's just 6 days ago. Saying you will have to pay. And then they added this. Your U.S. passport will be held until the loan is repaid. The cost may be $2,000 or more per person. Well, now the State Department, somebody said, you can't do that. Look at what we're, you can't. Well, they're not. They finally decided, okay, we will back off that. We're not going to do that anymore. Cancel the story. They're scrapping that plan to bill U.S. citizens $2,000 or more. I told you the other day when we heard reports of some of these folks trying to get out the last minute, be they Afghans or citizens, if they're trying to get on a commercial flight, they couldn't afford the tickets. And I'm thinking, why the hell are they having to buy a ticket at all? If we're using commercial flights to help get people out of there and they were commercial airlines were allowing to go in and out, then they're under our control. We can just commandeer and say, you're going to take Americans or whoever comes and we're going to get them out of here. No, we may pay you as a government, but they're not going to be charging you anything. Same thing with U.S. Air Force planes. And what really was set you off, if you remember, that along the border, we were providing free bus trips across America for illegals when they come in. We're putting them on planes at a nearby air base, whether or not it's Air Force or commercial, and we're flying them wherever we want across the U.S., and they're not paying. And they dared even put out a statement that we're going to be charging $2,000 to take you out, and we'll hold your passport until you pay for it. See, that's part of that swamp thing that they would get away with if we didn't start calling it out and shut it down. Thank God they have. And Biden's back on the job. Well, no, he's finished his news conference. He's leaving. Kamala's getting ready to take off on her shopping trip to the Philippines. At the same time, word comes out that the Taliban terrorist group is in the process of carrying out organized door-to-door manhunt for folks on a predetermined list. If they didn't get out and they're still anywhere they can be found, they will find them and execute them. President estimates we flew on something like 6,000, maybe 7,000 people out so far. And all this starting kind of late. You agree? And we still don't know how many are still in country, not at the airport, but are outside, maybe in Kabul, but outside the ring of Taliban still encircling a DICE report, hiding out, waiting for some kind of word that they can move freely about and maybe get out of the country again. And every day that passes, that they're locked down wherever they are, they face a greater risk. We come back, I'm going to be joined by Steve Bucci. 30 years, the Green Beret. Now with the Heritage Foundation, an expert when it comes to military matters such as this, and I want to get his fresh and latest update thoughts on what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and more importantly, what do we do to save the Americans still in Afghanistan? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com. It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest has served as commander of the 3rd Battalion, 5th Special Forces, leading deployments, including to the Persian Gulf, Operation Desert Thunder, and also now with the Heritage Foundation. 30 years as a Green Beret, seasoned leader of the 82nd Airborne. Steve Bucci, glad to have you back on board, sir.
It's good to be back on the show, Larry. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, the president finally decided to come forward and answer questions. Let's begin there, as he said that we are going to get all Americans out. What did you think of his remarks, and what do you think is really going on behind the scenes?
Well, I'm glad he finally said that, since several people in his administration have been equivocating up to this point as to whether we would get all the Americans out. But the proof is in the pudding. It's a pretty tough task he's defined for himself, given the numbers and the fact that the access to the airport is still controlled totally by the Taliban. People can't move through the streets. If they get stopped by a roadblock or a checkpoint and they show them their legitimate paperwork, we've had lots of examples of the Taliban, you know, rank and file say, no, sorry, you can't go forward. Get out of here. That's going to hold things up quite a bit.
Well, let's begin
the other Westerners too.
Right,
that's a big problem.
Let's begin with one of the things you point out in the beginning, that that he's going to get the Americans out, but acknowledging we don't know how many are in there. We don't know how many we need to get out.
Yeah, that's in any country, when Americans are in there, you're supposed to let the embassy know you're there, so that if a situation like this occurs, they have a record you're there and they can work with you to try and help you out. In most countries, that's kind of laughable. You know, if you go to Germany or Spain for vacation, they don't really have an idea how many Americans are in the country. But in this case, the vast majority of those Americans work for the United States government, or, a contractor who is working for the United States government. For them to say, well, we don't have any idea how many Americans are really there, somebody's dropping the ball there, Larry. They should know. This has been a war zone for 20 years. How could they not know how many Americans are there?
Well, the other thing that you just touched on there is the fact that we have more troops now in country. We were trying to draw down. And, of course, the other day, Biden said, it's my hands. I was handcuffed. Trump put this May 1st deadline in. Well, he did that on the basis of conditions that had to be met. And then when he's no longer in office, well, then the Taliban said, we don't need to worry about anything we signed with him. And the fact that Biden said, well, we suddenly decided to do it now because he wanted a 9/11 picture of a U.S. flag on a U.S. embassy in Afghanistan, marking the 20-year anniversary of 9/11 for us, and now we're going to have a Taliban flag over that same embassy.
Exactly. I mean, he's taken, he's the one who threw Trump's plan in the garbage, not Trump, and frankly, not even the Taliban. He basically said, no, we're throwing that out. We're going to get everybody out of there, all the soldiers out by 9/11. For purely public relations reasons. There's no tactical reason for doing it, as a target date. And as a result, he pulled out all the good guys with guns, leaving all the civilians there, basically hanging. And now suddenly we've got to backfill soldiers to go in there to try and provide security to try and get those civilians out. That's a much tougher deal. This would have been a lot simpler. Leave it on the May 1st deadline of next year, work towards it, pull out the civilians, and then finally the last people to go ought to have been the military.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And giving up control of Bagram Air Base at the way they did was absurd.
So now we sent even more troops in, and we're being told, or had been told a couple of days ago by Pentagon spokesman Kirby, this is not a militant, this is not a, how he described it. I don't have the exact words in front of it, but basically said, we're not going in there to fight. We're just going in to rescue, but we will fight back if we're fired upon. In other words, it was not a combat mission. He's saying it's not a combat mission. We're just going in to help get Americans out. Well, I think at this point, it could certainly go to a combat mission at any point. Your view?
Well, yeah. I mean, considering who we're dealing with here, the Taliban is not like a normal government. They're a bunch of guerrillas, basically. They're not statesmen. They've never tried to pretend they were statesmen. They're fighters. That's what they do. And, fair enough, it's not a combat mission. We didn't send these guys back in there to go hunt down the Taliban, but they're there to protect and stand between the Taliban and all these civilians. The likelihood of them being forced to use their weapons to protect themselves or the civilians is very high. And frankly, I would be astonished if we can get these people out of there in the next couple of weeks without further bloodshed, probably in excess of what we've experienced in the last couple of years there.
And to that point, we have these U.S. citizens. The word they got from the State Department the other day is, we cannot guarantee your safety to get to the airport. And basically, stay where you are, basically shelter in place. And then came word that, well, we'll be sending the Taliban, friendly Taliban around. We'll send you a Taliban Uber driver. Go with them, and they will take you to the airport. If you were an American citizen and Taliban showed up and said, we're just here to take you to the airport, come get in our car, I mean, I would have a hard time accepting that's where we're going.
It would not inspire confidence in your average person, no. You know, this is kind of crazy. There needs to be a gauntlet thrown down to the Taliban and say, look, we need access to our civilians. We're going to send out forces to get them, armed forces, to get them to move them to or to escort them to the airport, and that's what's going to happen. And you need to get the word down to, you know, your Joe Private on the ground that that's what's going to happen, and have them move out of the way, or we're going to have serious repercussions.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the way President Trump and Secretary Pompeo talked to them, and they acquiesced to all of it. They know they've got a softer target here in Joe Biden. In that he does not seem to have the stomach for that kind of tough talk. You know, he's big talk about corn pop there and back home in Delaware, but not in real life when the bad guys can punch you back.
Well, a global analysis group has talked about the Taliban terrorist group is already carrying out highly organized door-to-door manhunt for folks on their wanted list. They're looking up. They got a list. They're going through. They're going to find them. They're, in fact, executing them on the spot, hanging them in their homes or outside the door. And not only mass executions of them, but again, they're going to come across U.S. citizens. And certainly among those they're grabbing up now are Afghans who worked with our military. One interpreter has already said, I wish I had never done anything for the U.S. And that's probably because they feel they've been abandoned.
Yeah, I'm hard-pressed to argue with that kind of logic. It would cause one to think, why in the world did I take this chance to try and bring change to my country by helping these people from across the ocean? When the push comes to shove, they're gone. They're leaving, and we're stuck here hanging. It would be a terrifying situation to be in if you were that person who did, you know, provided the help, an interpreter, something like that, a member of the Afghan military or police, and your family, your wife.
Sure, that's another point.
These folks are under unbelievable threat right now.
I want to move on to another point here very quickly, Steve. And again, you're listening to Stephen Bucci, 30 years Green Beret, then serving now with the Heritage Foundation, also had been under Rumsfeld for 5.5 years and leading military experts to Baghdad. The remarks of top U.S. General Milley the other day saying, quote, there was nothing that I or anyone else saw that indicated a collapse of this Afghan army and this government in 11 days. You've been on the inside. Not saying you had up-to-date intel, but that statement, I either find it shocking or incredulous or just, what the hell?
Yeah, I'm incredulous about it as well. I mean, anyone who has worked over there or just worked in the Muslim world in general, to say with that kind of certainty that there was no evidence of, you know, that this could go south so badly is crazy. Mark Milley's smarter than that. He knows better than that. That's just not true. The Afghans have had a long cultural history of switching sides. That's kind of the way they do it there. If one side looks like they're getting the upper hand, a good chunk of that other side start defecting. It's not looked at as a bad thing.
No.
It's okay in their society.
Well, Steve, again, thank you for giving us your time on a Friday to bring us up to speed on this. And we'll be back in touch with you. This is obviously going to have more developing chapters.
Yeah, it's sad. We will be talking about this at least for the next couple of weeks or months.
Right. Well, again, thank you very much. Steve Bucci with the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, Christians being likened to Taliban?
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I mentioned earlier this week, as we saw Afghanistan go back under Taliban rule, that all the women in Afghanistan are going to face draconian restrictions again. Sharia law that they have to be covered in a burqa, cannot expose their face. They're not going to be allowed to read. They're not going to be allowed to learn and go to school at all. But the Taliban is saying, oh, no, we will respect women's rights, and they will not be as restrictive as previously as long as they follow Muslim law. Well, many Muslims across the world and in this country, they allow women to read and have their own opinion and to dress as they choose. And of course, if you go too far in one dress or something, well, then you might be called out, but you're not going to lose your head over it. You will in some countries, and with the Taliban, that's what they were doing. And having child brides, and if they wouldn't serve as a bride, then they've just become a sex object for the Taliban and other jihadist terrorist groups that will now be gathering in Afghanistan. And what have we been hearing from the National Organization for Women? Crickets. This last week, the National Organization for Women now tweeted about voting rights and abortion, and retweet comments about Equal Rights Amendment while saying nothing about Afghan women and girls. Nothing. And a Feminist Majority Foundation, also silent. Now, they blasted former President Trump in 2020, said he didn't include women's rights in his agreement in the administration signed with Taliban leaders. They have said nothing this time around. Major pro-abortion organizations? Nope. They're keeping their lips closed as well. LGBTQ groups? Nope, not saying anything. Women and girls in Afghanistan are going to probably have to go right back to what they were previously. You don't even leave your home without a full burqa. If you do, you have to have a male escort who's a member of your family. And again, girls as young as 12 will be forced to marry various jihadists. Taliban soldiers, according to a report from the Daily Mail, Taliban soldiers are to marry the women aged 12 to 45 because they are considered spoils of war. Now, against that backdrop, we've got members of the Hollywood elite and the state-controlled media who believe they know everything and they know who the real enemy is. It's not the Taliban. It's not jihadist terrorists. It's Christians. One piece that was written out of someone apparently in the midst of Afghanistan said that women in this area are now under Taliban control. They're telling me when they tried to enter the grounds of their university, they were told to go home. Women working in offices turned away. Schools have already been shut down. And pointing out that 60% of the university students in this one area were women. Not anymore. So Joy Reid of MSNBC thought she'd add her little part to it. She said, this is the real-life Handmaid's Tale. You have to know the movie to understand. I'm not going to get into it. But she said, this is a true cautionary tale for the U.S., which has, this is where I almost choke, which has our own far religious right dreaming of a theocracy that would impose a particular brand of Christianity, drive women from the workforce and solely into childbirth, and control all politics. I don't know what Christian group she's talking about. I don't know of anyone like that, period. And we also had Jews, of course, being condemned by Muslims, the jihadist Muslims, because they are the enemy and always will be in their view. And in China, they're killing Christians left and right anyway, genocide of the Uyghurs. But as far as Joanne Reed and others like Michael Moore, documentary filmmaker, they don't see the Taliban and jihadists or even China as being threatening. Michael Moore wrote, Christian conservatives are like the Taliban. How, quote, a lot of Southern Baptists want it to be. And they're all religious nuts. Well, you know what? I was born in Texas. And I often told church groups I've spoken to that when you're born, I don't care what their church was, I said, when you're born in Texas, boom, it's already pre-stamped on your birth certificate, Baptist. I joke, and yet I don't. Now, Southern Baptist, not now, I'm with a Presbyterian association church, I should say. But here you got Michael Moore saying, all these Southern Baptists, anybody basically is a Christian, is considered a religious nut in their mind. He said, we're hearing Taliban would demand people's phones if they find a downloaded Bible on your device, they kill you immediately. That's according to Dr. Rogers of the Religion News Service. He says it's incredibly dangerous for Afghans to have anything Christian on their phones. So Christians are being persecuted and executed in the new Afghanistan, and yet you got idiots like Michael Moore and the other left saying Christians are religious nuts, and they're to be feared. Well, let me close by reminding you of our national pledge, especially one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.